Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in his zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over, right? It is over. The Cubs are World Series champions. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars. Infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mully and Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, it's always a delight. And now joining us on the Cirque Resort Casino Hotline is Ron Coomer, CircaLasVegas.com. Ron, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mikey. David, how are you boys doing this morning?
Doing okay.
We had a really fun night of watching sports too long, and and so we're a little delirious, but we're very excited. And I got to tell you, we've all been down the road with hamstring injuries, and we'll find out what grade it is, and that will tell you the length that. That you're going to miss. But Justin Steele, that was the story of the game. As much as it's a 10-inning game and the game for to lose your opening day starter on a play like that, and the way he was grabbing at his leg, I just don't know how that's not the takeaway of the game.
Couldn't agree more. It was one of those things where he was rolling along in the game. He had six strikeouts, and when he came out, 4 2/3, he was dominant, just like you were hoping he could pick up where he left off last year. Had a good spring. Everything was rolling along well, other than him getting hit in the leg with the one hopper, a week ago, and a fluke play, right? So really a bummer, and no doubt. I saw him last night. Coming off the team bus yesterday, got a chance to talk to him just for a minute. And I asked him, I go, Hammy? He just put his head down, yep. And, it's just, he had a machine with him to get some treatment last night, even, post game. And I felt bad for him because he's, worked hard. And it's just a bummer. It's a bummer for the Cubs. And you're right. Like, it was the whole story of the game.
Coom, you don't want to overreact. You don't want to be over dramatic, but how do the Cubs avoid letting this injury to Justin Steele change the shape of their season and not let one injury derail everything that they thought they could accomplish?
Well, it comes down to leadership. So you're going to lose him. So you got his start, right? So he starts the game, and you know, he gives you five innings. So he kept you in the game. You're going to lose him for probably the next, who knows, 3 or 4 weeks, maybe, right? Something like that. So you're going to miss 3 or 4 starts, I would assume. I mean, that's just if it's a normal hamstring and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm no doctor, but, you know, we've all heard and seen these, as Mike was saying. That's where leadership comes in, though, David. That's where Craig Counsell has to step in. That's where, you know, the rest of the coaching staff has to be better. You've got to be better with how you treat guys and keep them mentally, like, charged and focused on their job and not look at what we're missing. It's what we need to do today, what we need to do tomorrow to win a ball game right now. And I, you know, easy to say, not always easy to do, though.
You know, it's fascinating to kind of look at the game itself, and it was really interesting. The whole thing set up your interview with Craig Counsell before the game, where he tells you why they decided that Christopher Morel would DH and why Nick Madrigal is playing third base. And our program manager, Ryan Porth, said to us today, he's like, that's as good an explanation before a game as I've ever heard from a manager. He just, it was a very detailed, you know, no problem sharing the thought process in terms of why that decision was made. And, you know, I did think to myself in the game, I think it was Madrigal that had the ball that bounced and went out. It was an unfortunate double, if that makes any kind of sense.
Correct. Yep.
Because they would have had at least a run there with Michael Bush having to go back to third on that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So think about Craig, and I've known Craig a long time. Being an infielder, there's going to be certain things that when you're a position player every day, that he's going to be able to explain that, you know, that guys that haven't been a position player, as far as an infielder, outfielder type thing, won't be able to explain. And that's any manager, right? That's his strength. And that's where, you know, and he understands what happens because he was that guy. He was that guy that would play third base when you had that lefty throwing the cutters down and then getting the ground ball. He was the guy, like for Arizona or for the Marlins, that they put over there. So he understands that, you know, and I do too. I understand the reason. I felt bad for Christopher that he's worked so hard and you don't get to start at your position opening day. But you know what? This just tells you that Craig Counsell is about one thing and one thing only, and that's winning. He thought the best nine was to put Christopher at DH yesterday and have maybe a little bit of an upgrade at the defensive spot at third base, and you know, you got your ace on the mound who's going to get a lot of ground balls hooked to the third base spot. So he's about winning, and that's, you know, so you're going to have to adjust to that, some guys, and sometimes, you know, it's not always the easiest thing to, it's not the most palatable if it's happening to you, but he's about winning. That's it.
You know, the Cubs are relevant when you're second guessing or questioning every move, and Craig Counsell's coming to Chicago as the highest paid manager in baseball. So, Coom, I want to know what went through your mind when he replaced Julian Merriweather with El Monte instead of going to Mark Leiter Jr. It didn't turn out to be the right move. It's always easy to second guess when it isn't the right move. But what was the thought process there, and what did you think at the time?
Well, I didn't think right at the time. You know, you it's the first game of the season, so you know, you let it play out and everybody's got a pitch and you go, okay, so there's got to be a reason he feels comfortable going with El Monte and he wants to see him in a leverage situation in a tight ball game, and let's just go with it. It didn't work out. To me, I think the bullpen is the toughest, and Counts even talked about this in his, in his meeting with the media, with the broadcasters, the ESPN guys and us yesterday. You know, the bullpen can make a manager look tremendous, and it can be the biggest thorn in your side if things don't work out, because that's where you're going to get second guessed the most. I didn't work out yesterday. I don't know how else to say it. The roles haven't been totally established yet. The whole blah, 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 you know, so maybe tomorrow.
Baseball.
Yeah, it happens. It's baseball. It's one of those things. There were some pitches that weren't called. There were some balls that were hit. I have a hard time second guessing the manager on some of the bullpen things, especially this early when, you know, as we know, roles haven't been totally defined yet. So, you know, it's a baseball play, David. You're exactly right.
You know, having said that, I was second guessing as I watched it with Drew Smyly. I'm just saying, he got the left hander out. He pitched the right number. I mean, he faced the number of bats. I thought maybe you take him out there at the end of the game. But I mean, again, you're absolutely right. I'm just second guessing out of habit.
And then that's okay. That's part of the job, right, Mike? I mean, that's okay. That's what we have to do. You're right. It could have been the case, and it could have changed the ballgame. I personally think for Smyly, with him coming out of the pen, I said this during spring training, he may end up get forced into the rotation. Now that may happen, but I look at him and I go, he has found a niche to me where that knuckle curveball, if he can command it coming out of the pen, which we saw yesterday, isn't the easiest thing to do because he was bouncing a bunch of them. But that pitch for a right-handed hitter comes out, and the way he throws it, you have a real hard time picking that pitch up. So one time through the lineup for Smyly, I think is going to be something that teams are going to have a hard time adjusting to him if he can throw that knuckle curveball for a strike, because it's a tough pitch to lay off of as a right-handed hitter if he can throw it around the plate.
So, Kuma, saw you, nice picture, group photo. You tweeted out you and Zach and Pat. And
you got Mitch, a great crew.
Mitch Rosen.
Yep.
Who?
Be accurate. Mitch tweeted it out.
Okay.
I was going to say,
what's with the Packer yellow? But I will ignore that. That's okay. But
Orange.
Orange.
I was wearing orange.
Is it orange? Okay.
Orange.
I have to adjust
Fighting
the
line I was playing yesterday.
There you go. Right,
there you go.
Mr. March Madness.
Asked and answered, counselor.
Annual tradition, obviously, but we talk about opening day and the pomp and the circumstance. The Rangers had a ceremony yesterday, and they're having another one on Saturday. From a baseball old school guy perspective, is that a bit much?
You know what? When you win the World Series, if you want to do them every day for the first week, I'm all for it, bro.
Okay.
We had more stuff going on at Wrigley Field for the first month than you could ever imagine. We had that going on. And you know what? I was all for it. I wear that ring proudly, and I'm like, hey, you know what? You win a World Series, you do whatever the heck you want to do.
That's a great answer. We're still talking about it. Who are we kidding?
I know, right? And I am. Look at our teams that have won. You know, it's the Bears. They're still immortal.
85. It's a while ago. Yeah, I'm with you. Have you ever had a hamstring?
I have. Yep.
And
it's
how?
Not good.
I mean, you know, the fear with that would be not just coming back from it, but dealing with it for a while. You know, on the return from that, you don't want to strain it again. You know what I mean? Like, that's the real tricky element, is maintaining your kind of regimen while knowing you can't retain your regimen.
Yeah, you're right. It's going to be one of those things where you get the muscle back and it gets healthy. Okay, so your hamstring gets healthy, but, you know, in this time, you're going to lose probably, you know, a week or 2 weeks of throwing. You know, where you can't put much pressure on that hamstring, and that's all dependent on how bad the hamstring was. It's, you know, we've seen some that are really bad. You know, I don't necessarily know if it's tore off the bone or if it's just a pull. Those are things that I'm sure they're going to MRI that thing today and find out exactly what it is. But it didn't look good. I'll say that, unfortunately, you know, and you can see the look on Justin's face when he came off the team bus yesterday. That's all you had to see. And I felt terrible for him because he's really in position to have another great year. So You just wait and see, but it's not good, Mike. That's for sure.
So who's next man up? Hayden Wesneski come up, Drew Smyly move in. Do you trust Ben Brown? Do you accelerate somebody else's progress? What do you think the Cubs will do now without their ace in the rotation?
It'll probably be Wesneski. It would be my guess. He'll come up, whether he goes in the rotation and Smyly or goes to the pen. Ben Brown was an option to me. I watched him pitch the end of spring, and he had a really nice outing. I've not been able to see him pitch a lot, David. So, you know, was that one good and two bad? I don't know. I did see him pitch, though, and he was dominant at the end of spring. Whether they decide to bring him up or if it's Wesneski, it'll be one of the, I would assume, I probably shouldn't do this, but I would assume it'd be one of those three guys. Wesneski, you know, unfortunately didn't make the team, but after one ball game may end up getting a call up and just be right back. So that probably is what's going to happen.
I got to tell you, it's amazing they didn't win after getting that run from Michael Busch in the ninth inning, where the ball, where clearly Mastroboni swings at it and fouled it, and you know. I mean, it was a very heady play. You guys saw it immediately. There wasn't much still. You didn't have a lot of doubt about it. And yet you get that run. That was such a break. And I thought for certain that that was going to be kind of the moment. And I know.
And by break, you mean terrible call.
But I mean, good, terrible call. Good, yeah. Terrible call for, yeah. Cubs, right?
Yeah.
More of those, please.
Okay. Can I say a couple things about that play,
please,
yesterday? I don't want to get too wordy. Okay, one, can we get the damn calls right?
Thank
Do
you.
We have replay? Yes. If you've got somebody in New York sitting there having a hot dog sitting in New York City in our offices, can you watch the damn game and go, that was terrible?
Yeah.
Fix that. Okay, we got this sheet. Zach hands me this sheet in the booth saying, you can't review that. Why? Because we can't get the call right? Because you can't see it on the damn TV? It's ridiculous. Fix this stuff. I mean, how many years have we got to go through this where something happens right away and it shows how bad a process we have in baseball? Ridiculous. That's terrible. Another thing. Second thing. The key to that play, if you're a Ranger fan, the manager in the dugout did not blow his stack and get all blown out of proportion and go crazy. He knew you couldn't review it. He let the play on. He's got a young, really good, but young catcher who was pretty wigged out about it. They came in. He came into the dugout. He gave him a fist pump. The kid sat down, and it went away. Let's keep playing on. Talk about leadership. That was leadership to me in the Ranger dugout, that folks didn't go ballistic, that we just play on. We're the best team in baseball. We're the world champs. Let's just come back and keep playing the game. And they did. I thought it was great. And then on the flip side of that, on the Cubs side, how about having a young kid on the bases and rolling the
awesome.
Dice and
yeah.
playing the game
smart
and going from second to home and going, you know what? That's a gutsy play by a young kid. Just first game for the Cubs. And he just rolls the dice, man. And I was like, good for you. That's a hell of a play. And I was pumped about that. So there was a lot of things going on. A couple good if you're a baseball fan and just the way you watch. Leadership and then showing our league again that we just can't figure it out.
And why can't you review something that egregiously bad?
It was weird.
Because we don't have baseball people up there figuring this stuff out. I'm just telling you right now, that's just terrible.
Too many
terrible
hot dogs.
For our league.
Home. Too many guys eating hot dogs.
Right? can we put that, you know what I mean? Damn nation.
But I mean, the problem is, presumably they're having mustard. There could be drippage and leakage.
Oh. Too many big plans any day off?
I have some friends that were here at the game yesterday from Lockport, some of Tommy Thayer's old football buddies that are friends of mine that we're all buddies. So we're going to go have dinner tonight. I may go hit a few golf balls. We're at Las Colinas, and this is one of the premier places to play golf. So I may be whacking that little white ball around this afternoon a little bit.
Nice.
Great stuff, Ron. Thank you, buddy. What a joy. Boy,
thanks, Coom.
All righty.
Great to talk to you guys. Yep.
That is so much fun. I'm so glad that he got a chance to talk about that play because he's so right. You know, I'm delighted they got the run, and I thought it would hold up. And Booch, as we call him, did a great job of not letting it get out of control. But how do you not correct that? Even if you're a Cub fan, you got to realize, like, that was outrageous.
I don't know why they don't have a mechanism in place when something like He's that right. is that obvious. And maybe every manager should have one, like, one challenge that was just – I don't know how you would legislate it.
Yeah.
But it's too hard because that was obviously a foul ball.
All right, 312-644-6767. Are those the kind of things you think about as you watch these games? What do you think about when you're watching some? Do you think, like, wow, Drew Smiley's he's cooked. He's got to come out right here.
Did you first guess?
Part of the fun is first guessing, right?
Well, did Almonte trigger you immediately if you're watching that game? It didn't me, I have to say. I did not think, oh, boy, I felt like it was the first game. This is what Craig Council does.
Yes.
We're going to figure out whose roles are going to be played by whom.
Mm. All right. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Score.
Here's the next pitch. Driven toward right center, and the Rangers win the game. A base hit by Jonah Heim into right center field, and Texas has beaten the Cubs in 10 innings by a score of 4-3.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. So that was the road opener. Does that count as the opener?
That counts.
I guess it counts.
It counts. Jonah Heim gets redemption for the bad play, I suppose, the pass ball. They call that a wild pitch. It was a foul ball, but he gets the game-winning hit after having that situation.
But it really doesn't count
until
you get home. The home opener, see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Shota Imanaga. That is this Monday, and you can join the Score and Bet MGM at Sluggers in Wrigleyville before that home opener. Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi will be broadcasting live from 10 to 12:45, followed by Zach Zabeman's pregame show until the first pitch here on the Score.
Okay, so that's the real start of the season. So the next two games are just sort
this
of
this is just nonsense.
Build
this,
up.
They may as well be playing in Tokyo.
Might as well.
As next far year, as I, next,
next year,
year
they will be.
That's their road.
Scorehouse Tokyo. Looking forward to that trip to Japan.
Yes.
And as for last night, you look at that being the real start to the season, and now you're 0-1, and people are acting like it was more than just one. The reaction has been pretty.
I mean, I think
pretty.
I wouldn't Andrew Brandt the whole damn thing and start imagining things. I think there's a lot of people that were hoping that they would win, but they didn't. But I wouldn't get
Kevin from Palatine wants Craig Council's job.
Yes, he did do some second guessing, and I think people are entitled to second guess. I thought that Craig Counsell did a really good job of explaining why he started the lineup he started. Kevin didn't like it. He expected to see Morrell at third, and he was upset about it. But you heard from Craig Counsell before the game. He gave you as good an explanation for that as you're going to find.
Very good detail. One thing about Craig Counsell is you're going to get the method behind the madness, if you will. And it's not always madness. It's sometimes it's going to be more than maybe you bargained for, but it's always going to be rooted in logic. And he had a reason. And when he does the background research and he has it at his disposal, he's going to use it. And he had information that he felt like was important to use.
Yeah, here it is. Here's his explanation.
Yeah, this is the kind of lineup that we've kind of previewed in spring training for most of spring. Maybe the only difference is that Nick Madrigal is playing third base. And for today, that's really just a nod to Justin pitching in the left-hander and the rollover with the cutter on the ground ball and stuff, and a heavy right-handed lineup. So you're going to see Chris at third base a lot. But there's some pitchers that we will, and I think Justin is the main pitcher that it makes sense to maybe go a little more defensive, probably in a position that's going to get the most ground balls third base today.
And then the first out of the game was a ground ball to Madrigal.
On
right?
cue.
Yeah.
Yeah, made him look like he knew what he was doing. I don't have a problem with Madrigal playing third base at all.
Yeah.
At all. If Madrigal is going to be in the lineup, actually he should be in the field. I don't like him as a DH.
Oh, God, no.
Well, that's been floated as well. There's going to be a lot of rotating DH. So,
although he did have a nice double.
It was a nice
although
double.
Although it bounced out.
Well, Nicky Two Strikes can hit. He's going to hit. He's going to make contact. So I don't have a big problem with him being in the lineup at all. I'm not the big anti-Nick Madrigal guy. I'm okay. He plays a role. It's not a big role. He's a good guy to have on your bench. He can play a lot of positions, and he's going to be a defensive asset at third base. I didn't have a big problem with that. I think it just caught us off guard a little bit because so much attention was paid on Christopher Morrell is focusing on third base, and he's going to be the guy, and you're going to take your chances with him. And you get a ground ball pitcher with your ace on the first night, you thought, okay. But that was a good move.
What did you think of the ESPN broadcast, or did you turn on your radio?
I did both. I did both because I do like to sync it up. I did early on the radio because I felt like I wanted to see how – I loved the way – first of all, I love Zach's pregame. He always sets the context. At 6 o'clock sharp, he was talking about the new era with Craig Counsell. And then I love hearing Pat, his enthusiasm. And of course, Kuma's great. So about 3-4 innings, I listened to the radio broadcast synced up with the game. And then I went to ESPN and,
I don't know why I don't like that more. I'm just saying.
I don't.
I think, but I honestly believe.
I was in. Yeah.
There's something about baseball more so than other sports where you're kind of watching the game with the announcers, and you get used to watching the game with them, and you get used to the rhythm of it, and you get used to a certain perspective on it. I'm not saying it's Homerism or anything, but I like the personalities of the people that you watch the game with all the time because it's an intimate experience.
We're really spoiled here.
We are very spoiled.
With Pat, Ron, and Zach, this is definitely
that is the best.
They are your friends. You feel like you're watching the game with them. I want to know. I wish I was listening to the radio when the foul ball that wasn't called was called because I would have loved to have heard Coom at that moment. I was wondering how Coom was calling it, but it was late and I was watching TV, so it was different. But you're right. It's more of an intimate experience because you're watching baseball and you want to like the people you're watching it with, right? In your living room, in your car, whatever the case may be. So I wasn't really moved at all or affected too much by the ESPN broadcast, but I did like the way the radio guys did it, as usual.
Yeah.
How about the Sox game?
That was interesting.
What did you think about that? John Schriffen met him yesterday for the first time.
What was he like?
He was with Stoney. It was great to see Steve Stone. He's going to be back.
He's a tall drink of water, isn't he?
John Schriffen?
He looked like about a, a, like he looked. It was like watching Stoney stand next to you know, Will Perdue.
I'm trying to think.
On TV. Maybe Steve was in a hole. I don't know. But he just looked pretty tall.
I didn't think of that. You know, I wasn't focusing on how tall he was or wasn't.
Is Steve in a hole?
Steve was not in a hole. Steve looks good, and it was just nice to talk to him and see him back for another season. I think it was his 55th opening day.
Yes, they mentioned
incredible.
That's incredible.
John Triffin, you know, it wasn't. It was just a very quick exchange. I'm not going to pretend to know him. I did listen to the game when I got home. I did stay for the entire game, so I listened to part of it. Look, he's a professional, and he comes from the ESPN family of announcers, so I think he does a solid game call. He's going to grow on Sox fans. The only thing I would say, and this is not meant to be anything except for constructive criticism, which I think is fair in a market like this. John Triffin is a total pro. He called a good game. I would lose the we in the hour. I would not call a game as a play-by-play guy as if you're part of that team. I think you can be for the team. You can be a homer, even if you will, if you want to call it that. But I don't think like we're down 6-5 in the ninth. I don't really like that. I don't think that maybe you hear that often. Am I wrong?
I just wonder if you need to get behind a microphone and have a public forum to go after the guy, or would it, since you met him, just tell him that, hey, by the way, why don't you watch the we and the R? Instead of calling him out after one game.
I'm not calling him out. I'm telling you, it's our opinion. It's our job to have an opinion. My opinion is he's a very good broadcaster. You can tell he's polished and why he got the job.
But Brooks, we're going to have a problem.
No, we're not going to have a problem.
I'm using
this
a
This is not a problem.
I just wanted to throw
you
we
stop
in there.
Misrepresenting me this morning.
But our problem is
three hours in,
like,
and you're like, this is like the fourth time.
I'm just kidding around.
I know. But
I love you, dear.
I'm looking forward to more of him and Steve and that chemistry, because you can see that Steve clearly values what he does, what John Triffin does, and he's very good at what he does. I don't know that you have to immediately be the we in the, you know, speak in those terms.
Right.
I don't know that the
That's
broadcaster
fair.
Does. And maybe it's just
argue.
A personal thing for me.
That's fine.
I don't like that when guys go there immediately, because it just feels like, you know,
and
something
you know,
don't need to
I
do.
I mean, we had a caller from Milwaukee who used the wrong pronouns, and we called him on it. So you want to treat people with
fans
respect,
do that a lot. I mean, you always say that we, and I always, you know, the old bad joke is, well, you got a mouse in your pocket? Who's we?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I mean, I like to say, like, oh, what are you hitting? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Since you're apparently on the team.
You asked that of a caller this morning. So you were
as
rude to our callers as I was now to John Triffin.
I would argue I was more confrontational. You met him, you liked him, and then you came on the radio and went after him.
For the record, when I met him, I had not yet heard him.
The minute I heard that from that dude, I called him on it, because I'm about living in the moment, Mr.
In the moment. Okay.
No, I'm joking. I thought the broadcast was fine. We had a texter who said that it was a cleaner broadcast because there wasn't as much kind of tomfoolery.
That was the other thing I wanted to add.
Grab
you know, I wasn't a big fan of that previous broadcast.
And that's why Jerry apparently didn't enjoy Jason, according if you listen to what Jason had to say.
Molly, frankly, that's why it may have stood out when he did say the we and the R and the kinds of things like that,
right.
Because the rest of it was very solid, very professional, very well done.
Yeah. I think baseball more so than any other sport. There is a certain, you're just watching the game with guys. You know, you listen to a game and you're sitting there with Hawk all those years, and then you're still hearing his voice through the game sometimes. You're still, you know, the different plays happen and you have a replay that runs through your head with his voice. And I think that happens all the time with broadcasters. You kind of learn there is a cadence, if you will, to I think the radio broadcast on the Score is phenomenal. And I think it's because there's so many times where I'm outside or in the car or grilling dinner, whatever it might be, and I'm listening to this.
The chemistry.
The
voices. He's also the mastery.
It's unbelievable.
You got a Hall of Fame play-by-play
guy. You got a Hall of Fame play-by-play
guy. Everybody's best friend as a
world-class color analyst.
And you got Zach, who knows how to fill in every game.
Yes. And it, you know, if you're around, Mark Zering is on that broadcast. They're just all good guys, man, everybody. And
we
you
love
like
you, man.
Them. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to the entire broadcast team.
See, now that's us.
Wonderful.
That's
show.
We. That's our.
That's our opinion.
Yeah.
You don't have to share it.
No, but that's our guys. But that's part of the team.
That's it's part of it is, you know, you're right. Pat's world class. And Ron's a great man. And we both are very fond of
all
Zach.
Right, let's talk Illini. Why don't you want to talk more Illini? Let's talk Illini.
You know what? I want to talk about the Illini. I love getting into it. And if you are interested, you should tune in tomorrow from 7 to 9 a.m. for BetQL's You Better You Bet countdown to tip-off. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, they're going to get you set with the best bets for the Elite Eight. It's the You Better You Bet's countdown to tip-off live tomorrow from 7 to 9 a.m. on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Great lead into Inside the Clubhouse 9 to 11 with Bruce Levine and me.
Okay.
That's us.
I mean, I would have read that if had they asked me to.
I'm ad-libbing.
Okay. He was on The Score with me and David Haught.
Yeah. You, where you
love
get,
Bruce.
Where you get all the guests that you get to talk to that I'm not told about.
We got your guests.
We're gonna get out to Marshall Harris. We're gonna talk to our buddy from CBS TV who is covering the Illini. He was there yesterday. We'll find out how good they look. They look great on TV, and how they kind of acted and reacted after that glorious victory. And the next one coming up, how they're going to win that game. We'll talk to Marshall Harris next. Mully and Haw on The Score.
Yeah, that's probably pretty. No, that had nothing to do with it. It had something to do with having something to put on so I could talk to you guys. That was a disgusting scene, I'm sure. For all the fans and social media, I apologize. The cold tub was one thing. That was just so I could have something decent to wear when you guys are here. But I did do a little better job with the Super Soaker today than I did last game. So.
No shirt, no shoes, no service, Coach. Let's get that straight. He stripped down for the crew, and we have Marshall Harris with us now to react. No,
I say no shoes, no shirt, no problem.
Joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is Marshall Harris, CircaLasVegas.com. Marshall, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Did y'all make it to the end of that game last night? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I mean, semi-coherently, but yeah. I did watch. I thought they played a great game. I thought they took control early, and they just held on the whole damn game. And I didn't know the Illini could do that. I thought they were the team that fell behind Marshall and then came back and beat people. They did exactly what they had to do against an Iowa State team. Both teams. That was a hell of a basketball game.
Yeah, outside of the terrible free throw shooting, 15 for 29, it was a complete game for the Illini. I mean, you had all of their strengths on display against, you know, an excellent defense in Iowa State. And the thing that impressed me the most about the game is we were wondering, you know, what's the pace going to be like? Are we going to play this game in the 60s, 70s, or will it get up to the 80s? And they literally played at Iowa State's pace and beat them at their own game. Their defense was better. They executed an offense when they needed to late in the game. And maybe the most impressive part of it, outside of just playing at Iowa State's pace, Terrence Shannon Jr. picked up his fourth foul with over 11 minutes left, and they were able to hold on. And I asked Brad Underwood, the players, about the stretch of games that he obviously missed as he was dealing and is still dealing with the rape charges against him. And they said, yeah, that probably had a big, you know, factor in how they were able to stay cool, calm, collected. There was an 8-point lead when he left the game. It was, I believe, a 5-point lead when he came back. Yeah, 5-point lead when he came back off the Marcus Damascus and one situation, 3-point play.
So, Marshall, appreciate you getting up because you know you work till probably 2 in the morning or so, and so it's a short night but quick turnaround. And when you were in that locker room, when you're at the post game, I just wondered, did Illinois strike you as a team that is playing with such confidence that they won't be intimidated by playing the defending champs, that they're beating every team by double digits at least?
Yeah, you know, nine straight double-digit wins going back to last season in the tournament for UConn, and none of those games have been, you know, by less than 13 points. But, yeah, they're definitely playing – they're playing their best basketball, and they know it, right? Like, right. They're just like, yeah, this was just another game. And I was like, well, is UConn just another game? I was like, yeah, basically. You know, that's what Coleman Hawkins told me. I mean, he understands that UConn is good. He understands – and they all understand that they are the defending champs. But, you know, we got to go out and play. Like, that's the whole thing. The whole point is, you know, they relish the opportunity to go up against a team that's considered the best in the nation defensively in Iowa State. And you saw what happened there. And now they relish the opportunity. They understand if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. Not to be cliche, but, like, that's really how it goes in the NCAA tournament, right?
Well, I mean, UConn, though, I picked Illinois to get to the Final Four. Now, I picked Arizona to win the damn tournament, so that all ended. But
I told you not to trust Arizona.
Yeah, you did. But here's the deal. You know, a 3 seed beats a 2 seed, the Illini. A 6 seed in Clemson beats Arizona. A 4 seed in Alabama beat North Carolina. We've been waiting for upsets. We got technically 3 of them. But the one, the old faithful of the group, is UConn, who won by 30 and looked like they could have won by 60 in that game. This is, you know, we thought playing Iowa State was a step up in class. This is like a leap up in class.
Yeah, they're the top overall seed. For, yeah. They are 33-3, right?
Wow.
Which Brad Underwood, joking yesterday, says, well, at least we know they can be beaten because they've got 3 losses. I mean, that's one way to look at it, right? Like, you have to tell your team whatever you have to do. I think Dan Hurley said something funny yesterday, too. He was like, well, we're not very good in close games, so we got to do it the way we're doing it. I mean, they're winning these tournament games by an average of 28 points a game, right? I mean, I know they played a 16 seed to start, but still, like, San Diego State, that was a team they beat in the national championship game last year. And, you know, a lot of those same players are back. And UConn lost a lot of, you know, a couple of really good players, NBA players. And it does not matter. I mean, they have such unique challenges with a guy like Donovan Klingon, 7'2". Yep. It's going to be interesting to see how they play. Brad Underwood did say, he's like, you know, he took a old page out of Don Nelson's book, you know, first one to 100 wins. They want to push the pace. UConn scores a lot of points. They score a lot of points. First one to 100 might win this game.
Quickly, Marshall, before we let you go, what have you learned about Brad Underwood since covering this team in the tournament that makes you think that, well, they may have a chance, or something he will do, or the way that he will get his team ready gives the Illini a shot against UConn?
The one thing I'll say about him, I mean, I know you guys played the clip, so you've seen the scene with no shirt on, and here we are with the Super Soakers. They're having so much fun. He said he's having more fun now than he's ever had in his career, right?
Right.
And the team is playing so loose. They understand it's a challenge, but I don't think they're going to feel pressure, right? Not that they're playing with house money or anything, because there are expectations. They want to win. Brad Underwood reemphasized last night after the game, we're here to win national championships. I told people that when I was hired, and that's the plan, to win national championships. But they're just playing so loose. There's no sense of what was me. That they're playing their best basketball at the right time of the season. I don't think anyone would argue that point. And that gives them a puncher's chance. I mean,
right.
No, it's hard to say UConn's going to go down, but if they do go down, why not the Illini?
Yeah, it's a great sentiment.
Well put.
I can't wait to see this game. Great stuff, Marshall. Thanks a ton. You are our man on the scene.
Thanks, Marshall.
No problem, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
That's Marshall Harris, the sports director over at CBS
doing a nice job.
TV.
Illinois is attracting quite a following in the Chicago media.
And we're going to talk to Mike DeCourcy next. Mm-hmm. We're going to stick with the tournament. We'll find out if these upsets are going to continue, and who smells Final Four. It'll be fun. You're shaking your head at me.
No, I'm just shaking my head about...
Oh, about the upsets?
The upsets. I don't think they will continue today.
Okay.
I don't, but that's wishful thinking.
All right. Yeah. I was hoping Arizona would win, because they were my championship team. I'm eliminated. But I had the Illini going far. That's pretty good. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.